This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, June 18th, 2008.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's meeting, Wednesday, June 18th. And at this time, I'm calling the meeting to order. We're going to make a slight change in the agenda. And we're going to move our report from our employee elected trustee, Beth McKinney, to the top. And Beth, I'm going to give you the floor.
Thank you. So I still don't feel official yet because it officially starts July 1st, and Michael still might come down and say hello. But I was just down in New York City last week for the orientation, and I have lots of thoughts and ideas. I'm hoping to be connected with either Jason or the executive committee somehow. We haven't even met yet to figure out the best way for communication. But I just wanted to show my face to everybody and let you know that my plan is to stay connected. I've already been contacted by employees thinking that I was elected to the EA with some issues that I want to figure out how to pass along to you. And conversely, how to move forward anything that you've got on your plate appropriately. So with communications, Jason has already talked. That's really all I have to say. I still have not figured out what I'm allowed to share and what I'm not allowed to share after the meeting. And in fact, the orientation was just meeting all of the senior staff and finding out what they do here at Cornell.
Thank you, Beth. We're actually delighted to have you represent us. And we will keep you updated. Please feel free. Our meeting schedule is off over the summer, but feel free to use email or phone calls or face-to-face conversations for anything that you want to be included in. Talk to us, discuss, pass on, and we'll answer all questions and support you 110%.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to make that a little bit more formalized just for my benefit with who I share stuff with and vice versa. Otherwise, it could become quite a mishmash.
Definitely, I agree. We'll work together.
So that's my plan for the next couple of weeks, to give you a call, actually, on your cell phone.
Sounds like a plan. Beth, thank you very much.
Great.
Okay, I have an announcement. Judy has another meeting, but she's going to be popping up and when she's done, and we'll fit her in when she's here and when there's an available time for her. So at this time, I'd like to call for any late additions to our agenda. Yes, Dennis.
I have one item, which is the top and columnist alphabetical list for 2008 through November 20th.
Call from column?
Yes.
We'll throw you down. We'll make a new section. Old business, we'll have new business, and we'll put on call from column.
Okay.
Any other late additions? Okay, we're going to, there's another change in our agenda, but this one was posted, unlike mine. We have new business. It's the President's Address 2008 to President Judy Hart. It's moved. She'll be back, and we're going to move to the EA handbook distributed for review, and I believe Jason has volunteered to share that with you.
Did you bring any with you, Amy? Where?
He'll be coming in a moment.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the EA handbook is something that Ari and the Office of Assembly has been working on. It's kind of an introductory to new members of the EA, which is a great start. And so it's in draft form and was distributed at the exec meeting. And we'll get copies sent around anyone. Just start to look through it. And if you have any comments or feedback, let Ari know. It's really just in draft form, but really giving a good introduction to the whole EA and who's who, what's what, how things work. Yeah, I saw this. What Ari put together in the Office of Assembly presented to us last week was an amazing document that I feel will really help us out with the transition and listing the duties and responsibilities of our members and various other pieces of information. You won't get the full effect until you actually do C1 and I will be bringing those up.
Does anyone have a copy they can hold up for a moment?
Yes, I do.
Do you have it?
I have a copy also.
Yeah. Or let me see it, Alan. Thank you. I'm going to just open up a page. I'm just going to the content. There's a purpose, structure, office of the assembly. It gives our authority, our accountability. Talks about the elections, our committees, our resources, websites, meeting spaces, managing funds. It has everything you can think of in here. And I know that this is a piece of work that can be edited as time changes. But it was really thorough. It talks about the annual reports to the president, and it has information about that in there. So I feel that this is going to be a tool that's really going to help us out. I'll pass this around. I think Jason and Peter are seeing it. Maybe Leon, have you seen this? If you want to look at it. You just got one? You want to look at that?
Do you guys could review it and talk about it at your retreat?
It would be a great agenda item. And I know he's going to get more. Do we have any questions about the employee or the EA handbook? All I know is Ari did a fine job on it. We're happy that we got that presented to us last week. Okay, we're going to move on. Report from the chair. Just to let you know, our retreat is scheduled for August 15th on Friday. That is the time that most EA members are available. We're only losing a couple. Very valued. Leon can't make it that day, but... And we took feedback from an email I sent out asking for suggestions and feedback. And Gary had sent us a page of many different locations, and we discussed it and talked about it. And we chose the Chamber of Commerce, which is here in Ithaca. We feel that it is close to where everyone would have to come in that day for work. It's not a hike. My house can be a backup in case we did need a place, but we agreed with the group that we need something closer. And from what I heard, I have not been there. It's a beautiful room. It's our own room. And I think that it's going to work well for us. All day on August 15th.
For those people who, I know where it is because I'm driving by, but some people might not know physically where it is. So
we'll send out directions.
And an address or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe through email this summer we can work on getting an agenda for the retreat. I've already heard some thoughts about that. And then we'll get out travel and start time, end time, and where to park, those types of bits of information for everybody. And I feel like we did our best to compromise for what happened this year. And now next year, in the spring, more in the beginning of the spring, we'll make sure that we have the retreat planning part of our agenda, and we'll work it to get more input from the group and give us more time to think about ideas. But I think Peter finding a date and doing that was good work, quick thinking. I actually didn't think we had another EA meeting. I didn't realize we had this meeting until after. But, so good job, Peter. Thank you.
Also, Beth let me know that she intends to come for the second half hour retreat. She'll miss the team building part, which is for our group, and she's going to show up for the rest to participate in discussions and whatnot.
Very nice. Okay, any questions about the retreat? So we don't have an agenda, but we're going to work on it. Yes, Lee?
Maybe at the end of this one this year.
Yeah.
I don't know about it either. But maybe there could be 5 minutes devoted to maybe where the one will be next year or something like that. So you're planning ahead.
Sure. And if that doesn't work because it is too soon, then we can still do it. But definitely in enough time before the end of the spring. Is Pat able to?
She's going to phone in. She had something come up at work.
Oh, okay.
She at work she had to deal with, but she told me she's going to call in about 1 o'clock.
Outstanding. Okay, and then...
So we're going to weigh in on the agenda. Is it morphed into shape?
Yes.
Because you have, just from a personal standpoint, more than team building, I'm more interested in the EA being really knowledgeable about Cornell. I mean, a real working knowledge of how this place works,
yep.
and the players and the things that the trustees are dealing with, mm-hmm. and things like that. But I just think are really important for us to know as a group.
I agree. And when that discussion happens, jump in on it if you have ideas.
Maybe that could be an agenda item for the retreat.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
As a starting point.
Yeah, 100%. I've already heard, keep the icebreaker limited so that we have more time to focus on work.
Last year, the retreat, we talked about connecting with executive, vice presidents and other officers at Cornell and stuff like that, so definitely bring up again.
But did you mean there like a wider knowledge base of what?
Yeah, and then to talk about affordable housing and the transportation and there's about $850 million in building projects that are playing out right now and that affect employees in different ways.
Okay. The more knowledge we have, the better we can get that knowledge out and help us spread the word. I definitely welcome knowledge. It's a great idea. Okay, again, I want to congratulate all our new members and the new officers. Looking forward to a good year. I feel we have a great group. We have people that have been here a while with a lot of knowledge. We have some new people, some new energy, fresh blood. And I think that we can make some positive changes this year. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay. Bill is not here. He's our UA representative. Is anybody else able to speak on behalf of the UA?
There haven't been any UA meetings, so
okay.
I'm sure there's no report.
Okay, we'll move on to our approval of minutes. We'll start with May 21st. I'll give everybody a quick minute or two to go through it. If you didn't see, these came out through Oracle as an attachment, and I think that's great that you guys were able to do that.
Well, it's the agenda. I couldn't attach anything else.
Right.
Did you find,
when
you tried, did you find that there was an attachment size restriction?
It would only one document, that
yeah.
was it.
And then Terry sent out the 90 minutes on behalf of Amy because of our email problem. But I like in the agenda and the Oracle.
That was our.
We can
Amy's savvy. She came up with a savvy way of getting the agenda out when email was crippled.
Okay, and everyone have time. Looking for a motion.
Move to approve the minutes of May 21.
Second by Peter. All in favor? Any opposed? Abstained? Okay, we will move forward on passing the minutes of May 21. And let's give everybody a quick couple of minutes to review the June 4th meeting minutes.
I wasn't there.
Okay. There's one exception. Okay, we'll move forward on approving the meeting minutes of June 4th.
Just going back to the beginning of that meeting, is that something that the parliamentarian would address, like, once we're established and set up, is that a staff issue? When there's confusion about protocol.
I'll tell you what my whole plan is, and why I was a strong supporter of actually reevaluating the parliamentarian position and actually educating myself more on a procedure. That will be something that I would ask that Hazel, as a parliamentarian, look into and be aware of. We also look towards the Office of Assemblies for support. And it also, we could improve on that by having a game plan ahead of time, which we will.
And then as chair of the internal operations, I pretty much had an idea of how the election's going to run. Like, you know, you can't always anticipate when someone's going to say, well, wait, we should do something else.
That's
oftentimes
right.
Oftentimes it only comes up at the last second at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully next year we can kind of waylay that and have a look ahead of time.
Are you speaking, Gary, about the issues of record, not record, and all those?
Yeah, just in general, just a straightforward protocol of the, you know, how we operate. Not just in this instance, but any time there's a question about how we're doing business.
It's anybody who has the knowledge to give us the direction, more so parliamentarians. But yeah, I feel everyone should learn the charter. As an EA member, you should know the charter inside out. We also have a new ad hoc charter review committee that's going to be looking at some of these other things. And procedures is going to be on knowledge education, and we rely on the parliamentarian and Ari and the Office of Assemblies. Yeah, better game plan, though, will help. We'll work on that. Okay, we'll move on to our committee reports. The executive committee, we met, and we did, like I mentioned in the report from the chair, we did talk about the retreat, and we did get all suggestions and feedback, and we did come up with a location and a date. Hopefully that people view that as a compromise, and we can move forward on getting the agenda for it. We welcome the new officers, talked about the budget day, employee handbook, which we've mentioned, and we talked about the president's address. The president's address from a meeting with Mary Opperman, I brought up the idea that maybe we could do something a little different for the president's address. What can we do to increase turnout, get more people involved, make it more exciting? And Mary's suggestion was that there was an energy fair several years ago, and maybe that we could tie the president's address into the energy fair. It wasn't anything I had thought of, and I wasn't here for that, but I think it was a great idea. And what we're doing with Judy Hart as a guest speaker is just coming to get some information about the energy fair and seeing if that's an option we want to pursue for planning the president's address. And again, if we do anything different than just having a place and holding it traditionally how we always do it, we need to do that planning over the summer. Yes?
I'd like to see the format set up like more like a press conference, in the sense that the president is taking questions directly from the audience, not that the trustee member, the EA trustee member, is passing the card or passing questions or whatever. To me, I don't see the need for that. I think it's a waste of time.
Okay.
And I think the president also, because we know the president, well, in all likelihood, everything that could be asked from A to Z, he might not have the answer. So maybe what would be helpful, if the president has with him on stage, instead of having, I mean, other than having the president of the EA up there or the chair of the EA with him, to have like the vice president, like Steve Golden and Susan Murphy and the provost, you know, whoever the new provost will be or the acting provost.
They could help him.
To me, that's finding out. Yeah, they can help him. So, I mean, because I don't know. To me, just having, because he even mentioned at one of the meetings, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I've seen these questions before that Michael is asking me. I mean, why go through all that, in my opinion?
Yeah.
I mean, other people have opinions sitting around the table, but to me, just taking questions directly from the audience.
I think he would be fine doing that. He's a great speaker. I also feel having the senior administration there on stage with him would give a chance to introduce them to other staff members that are in attendance.
And I think that's sort of like Gary, to make it more global. That's to me, that's going in the direction I think.
Yeah, does the president usually make remarks?
He answers questions, but the questions are pre-picked.
Right. But he doesn't come and make, like, 10 minutes.
Yes,
he does.
He does. Of his Mary's choice, our suggestion.
We suggest his topics,
mm-hmm.
and then he speaks on them.
Because I think one way to get some people there is if we could get him to announce something
mm-hmm.
at the event. And, you know, there's always something going on. It might not be, like, a huge major announcement, but it's something that mm-hmm. he would want to pass on. This is in October, right?
Yes.
So it might be something, I'm just talking out loud here, it might be something tied to mortgage assistance. It might be something tied, you know, there's a menu he could probably pick from if he got some input from his vice president. And then if we were pitching this thing, we could say, you know, President Scorton is expected to make an announcement on something of interest to employees, whatever.
To get more people there.
Yeah.
And these are things that I wanted to break away from what has been done in the past and do something different. So these are great ideas. And unfortunately, we don't meet. So I think that we need to work through email as we get closer. It's going to also be tough to hear Judy, see if that's the way we want to go. Mary Opperman wants to stay right on top of this idea, if we like the idea, and she wants to be involved with helping us. But I think we're going to have to rely a lot on emails back and forth, good ideas, suggestions, even designate some people to work on the planning of the address if we're going to do something change, you know, something that's going to change. And I'll keep you two in mind.
I'd be willing to work on it.
Okay.
Peggy, since the assemblies are under Tommy's shot, right? Mm-hmm. What interest does he have in stuff like this?
I haven't asked in particular in terms of what you're suggesting. Or
no, I'm just saying, you know,
general.
So I see, you know, Opperman interested in what we do because there's a natural connection.
From a communication standpoint, I think my sense is that he feels it's very important that the president have this opportunity and that staff have the opportunity too to attend where he might be talking about, you know, whatever he chooses. What strikes me is, and it just occurred to me now, last year he did open forums with grad students and undergrads, and but I don't know that he ever did an open forum with assembly members. And this is
why
the
not?
Type of thing that Leon was talking about, that, you know, that's his style. He does very, I mean, it's true, he usually will have key staff to help with some of the specifics of answers and everything, so I don't think Tommy has any agenda for this, and he's open to it, but I think he feels it's very important that something like this occurs.
Yeah, and that's...
I think one of the reasons we didn't go without the forum last year, because he was so new, and it was in October, it was in October, the beginning of the
session. What was new?
President Scorton.
We did, but I know we did choose to have the questions go to the staff through call print, the answers got back, and then we shuffled through them and got the questions, passed them on to the president's office. They reviewed them, and even at the president's address last year, President Scorton did call Mary to answer some of them to help him out.
Yeah, I think Mary should, obviously, she's the vice president, she should be up there. Tommy Bruce is the vice president. They should all be up there with us.
It's a great idea.
I mean, don't put him up there in isolation.
Dennis?
I was just going to add a little bit to Gary's point about an announcement. I don't know how many of you attended when Hunter Rawlings was president early on. This could have been in 1997, 98. He announced the university feeding the staff emergency grant fund with $25,000. He announced that at that forum. It made a big impact. There had not been a lot of buzz ahead of time he was going to do that, but there was some sense that something was going to be said. So I think Gary makes a very good point. If there is something the president can announce that's staff related, mm-hmm. and that could be leaked a little bit, and
you can push that. You can push that leak through the paper. I have also Alan down on my list of potential people because Alan has worked to get Judy here regarding the energy fair. I think with what's going on economically, the energy fair is a good option. Now, whether we do it with the president or separately, or whether we just don't even touch it, that's still to be determined.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The energy fair, whether we do that with the president's address and go on that idea is an option, whether we just do it separate than the president's address or whether we just don't touch it at all and not do it. They're all to be determined. So there's, you know, budget, planning, and that's what we're going to hear a little more from Judy about it. Because I'm not very familiar with the idea either. Judy's our guest speaker. She's coming. She was involved in planning 3 years ago for the energy fair.
So 3 years ago already?
It wasn't two.
Oh, shoot. I think it's a good idea. I mean, basically getting the president's address bundled with some other thing that would get people to come out. And hopefully we'll know more from Judy whether, you know, planning the energy fair on her own or maybe with her help or some of the people that helped her will be something that we easily be able to tackle, or maybe we'll find out a lot of horror stories. I mean, I went to the energy fair and I thought it was really cool. So I would definitely want to help if we were the vehicle to do it, to get more vendors there, get people, like, I want it because I'm interested in energy solutions for my house, you know, solar, wind. How do I buy these things?
Well, I know this is not the time, but the energy fair, we don't want to steal that from people that have already got that up and running.
Maybe we want to be
a partner or co-sponsor, but just
I don't know if anyone,
take it over.
I don't know if anyone's planning, but if somebody is involved in setting one up, let's say there's another group setting something up in August, an energy fair, obviously we're not going to take that. But Judy should know those answers because I would think she would be a key person. We'll find out, though, in a little bit when she comes back from her meeting. Okay. I'm going to rest on the executive committee report and we'll move to staff award recognition. If you don't have anything to report, let's just let it ride.
I have nothing to report except that we will have to meet within the next 2 weeks.
I bet you I know why. Okay. Communication.
I was very aggressive in trying to get a town meeting before my official first EA meeting, so that was held yesterday. And had a very jammed, packed agenda, squeezing as much as in the 1 hour as we could. But essentially, there were two big items that we talked about. One was filling UA and EA vacancies. We talked about the needs and the importance for that. And that ties into all the communication things that I have to yet figure out and understand what ComCom has done in the past and what they want to continue to do. So we are aware of the specific UA and EA vacancies. We didn't specifically talk about those. I mean, we didn't specifically talk about it in general or just any, because the EA is responsible for finding 5 employees to sit on the UA, of which some of them are EA members. We're responsible for getting our 5 seats up on the UA. We should also be responsible for making sure our own board is fully staffed, and those will tie into the communication efforts that we will identify and figure out going forward. With that said, let me say that I want to be aggressive in having as many ComCom meetings over the summer as we can to hash these things out, so by the summer we've got plans in motion for these types of things so that we have some publicity out there for these vacancies and maybe some people coming forward before our next meeting in the fall. We also discussed that we were going to ask, I believe Hazel's term is up.
Pat.
She's term.
Unable to.
Okay, you talked to her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's what?
Pat is unable to serve another term.
Pat's term on the UA has come to an end, so we were going to ask her if she had interest in that.
Has she
been unable to?
Hmm?
She's not able to?
No.
So, the second big thing that we talked about was we had another rehash report of the EA website that Andy was working on. He explained what they've gone through and what information is up on the EA website and all that type of thing. And he also said that they identified a need for like an employee website or portal of some sort,
which coincidentally, in a parallel universe, Peggy and Web Communications were coming up with an employee portal idea, and so we're trying to marry those two things together and figure out how the EA can play into that. And we basically discussed the big hodgepodge of websites we have out there in Cornell where people can get confused. You know, you have the public website, CU Info, U Portal. You know, there's no unified, true intranet-type website for employees. And so now with Peggy and Web Communications and other people starting to think about that, and then on parallel, the EA thinking about that, I think now that the conversation is started, we'll be able to be some players in figuring out if there will be a official employee portal going forward. We didn't talk about it, but Julie's been keeping me updated that she has been in talks with Cornell's Survey Research Institute about a potential survey of staff, and she did mention that there was a cost involved, and Alan called me earlier today and said that he heard from Julie and that the cost could be anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000, and I like freaked out with that type of number. That's not something that's in our EA budget now, but I think if we did go with them with the cost, maybe we could find the money elsewhere, some other entity on campus to pay for it, or look at alternative methods to a survey, which I'm welcome to help add ideas to the table.
Jason, doesn't Cornell offer free surveys? There's surveys you can go online and do that Cornell.
The last time I checked was there are specific rules on the freeness that if you were doing a survey for staff,
mm-hmm.
employees, it's not free.
Well,
it's something with the license agreement of the software that if you were using it for instructional academic purposes, it would be free. But if you were using it to poll your employees for on something, then it would not be free. That was the last time, a couple months ago, that my department checked for the free resources at Cornell. So I want to find out what has been done with the Survey Institute already with Julie, and to find out what other options were pursued, and find out what's best going to meet our needs at the right
what
price point.
Looking to, kind of obvious what they want to hear.
I don't,
are we looking to achieve from...
I don't know yet. I don't know. I mean, we're just basically the concept of we want to survey the staff.
Like a staff climate?
Yeah. The questions are not defined to my knowledge. It's just we want to figure out what we need to do a survey of staff, and the next phase would be...
How would we give a survey to everybody? Because if we can get that answer, we can get the answer on how we can...
Yeah, I know. It's all kind of tying together. I'm not going to know more until the next ConCon meeting.
Okay. It's a good direction.
The only other thing I want to mention real quick is that when you do a survey and you get the data for whatever reason, if you don't act on it, then your credibility is shot. So be sure, whatever reason you're collecting it for, that some positive action can be taken, because otherwise, you know what I mean? The credibility is gone. Nobody's going to pay any attention to the year.
Also, the university is planning a climate survey of employees. They're working on it now, so if you're thinking of something similar.
I don't know what the ComCom was thinking of in the survey. This is just, what do you mean by climate survey?
Is there a contact person? Because I wonder if you could call them in.
Hail Mary knows about it and is working on it.
Okay. Mary next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just at a minimum, you wouldn't want to time something right on top of it.
Right. Yeah.
And
like page two of the climate survey is, there's a lot of work there.
Okay. Okay. Right. And that's it. Thanks.
Okay.
We're going to.
Any questions for Jason?
Yeah. He's been busy.
Yes. Jason brings a lot to it.
Just a question on that filling seat, and I'd like to hear from folks who've been around here a while. Is the concept of getting the internally, so instead of like just relying on the popcorn or whatever, getting the culture to the point where like a department manager would say, gee, sees an opportunity for a seat on the EA and goes to Alan, you know, Alan, you've been doing a great job for Cornell. I think this would be a good opportunity for you. Because to me, that's the way those seats get filled. It's not like, oh, gee, I saw something in the pop print. I think I'm going to run. it's sort of like an honor bestowed upon, like, you know, internally as the department, Amy, you know, this would be a great opportunity for you to be involved in this, and I think that, you know, expand your horizons, help your career development, and make it sort of like a nice thing for people.
Well,
you know,
so we talked last week at the exec meeting. There are two contract college seats open that we would actively pursue contract college employees, and that could be, yeah, we still use Qualtrics because a lot of staff read that. And it does get the word out, but we also would look at contract college X, and call up the administrator of the college and let them know that there's two spaces and that we're looking to have elections for this. Any interested people, we would love to have somebody, you know, same kind of deal. And as EA members, you can personally go and invite people as well. But it is getting the word out there.
Also, maybe another possibility might be to take the show on the road to the 7 colleges and schools with the deans and have one of the deans meetings where they have the department chairs and their faculty to ask for 10 or 15 minutes and do a presentation on the EA and why it's valuable and what value it adds to the staff, the employees, and the colleges and the schools. And then, like Gary said, then from that you could ask, you know, when a vacancy occurs, you know, who can we contact within your college or school so you can appoint or recommend someone or whatever. Right. Then you're tying it with it and you're institutionalizing it more. And so maybe taking it on the road.
And celebrities, okay. Right, yeah. One of the biggest obstacles we've had for staff joining the VA is supervisors and managers. So getting staff to not only be okay with getting released on staff, but actually encourage them to join the VA would be a huge shift for sure. That would take a lot of work. So
I think I was just suggesting that in addition to the talk friends, the phone calls, I think you have to show up in person and talk to people and let them know what you have and why it's valuable to them.
Yeah. That way, who's, is that IOC to fill these two vacant seats?
Yeah.
Okay. Peter can, his committee can work on that, take that into consideration. I think one thing different than last year is that we're not desperate for members. We were down 5 last year. We're down 2. And I think that we could put some more work and energy into it to make some kind of show. Maybe
start with those first two, with the statutory colleges first, versus the endowed side.
Right.
I mean,
we could look at what we
go there first and then do it.
And maybe Peter can invite you to the next IOC meeting that he's going to discuss that. Okay. If those are good ideas, and then you can be a player in that.
But it's like a scheduled IOC meeting.
Schedule him there, he'll come. All right, excellent. At this point, we're going to take a pause from our committee reports. Alan, you'll be on the list when we return. And we're going to move on to Judy. Judy is here as our guest speaker. And if you want to introduce yourself and start, we're glad you could come, and we appreciate you filling us in on any kind of information about the IOC.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me. I'm glad that kids are interested in it, because it's been, you know, sort of sad for me that we haven't been able to continue it, but we just haven't been able to muster the resources. So anyway, I'm Judy Hart. I'm Director of HR for the Division of Student and Academic Services. I don't know if you guys want to go around the table quickly, and most of you have name tags, and some of you I know from other kinds of meetings, but maybe just let me know what schools you're attached to or what your seats are, so I have some idea. Okay.
Leon Lawrence from the College of Architecture, Art and Planning.
Yeah, I've seen you in quite a few meetings.
Are they the same with the Office of Assembly?
Okay.
Amy O'Donnell, also from the Office of Assembly.
Yes, which is on the phone. Yes, it is. Amy Lair.
Whitman.
I also know Gary.
I'm from the Veterinary College.
Okay.
Brian Cornell from Architecture, Art and Planning.
Okay.
Jason Seymour, new to the EA and Vice Chair from College of Engineering.
Thanks.
Peter Karloff, Human Resources at the East Coast Public.
How do I not know you?
And then Jim,
I'm way out there.
Oh, I know those guys. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
You know
I
Gary.
Yeah, I know Gary too.
Okay.
I didn't mean to blow you guys up. Sorry. let me tell you how the energy fair came about to start with, and then maybe give you a general idea of what we did, and then
you can ask questions. Whatever year it was, how many years ago now?
Three.
Three?
I've been thinking it's 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Gas prices were rising. And
nearing $2.
Yeah, hopefully up to $2 a gallon at the time. And cigarettes were only $5. anyway, and it was also around when Katrina was happening, and that was pushing on the gas prices. And Mary Opperman was talking to her director's group, upon which I sit, because I have a dual appointment. And she was saying, what kinds of ideas do you guys have to help, you know, either with the Katrina efforts or for staff who are so regressively hit with these price increases? And I said, thinking in, you know, kind of small, contained way, that NYSA used to go around to the villages. I don't know if any of you remember this. They used to do these little, if you're too young, these little energy fairs. They would announce it in the paper, and they'd come to the village hall, and they would tell you how to look for, you know, put a candle in front of the cracks in your windows to save the breezes coming in. And then they give you these little tips with window plastic and the things that go into outside outlets. I don't know what any of this stuff is officially called, but, you know, really cool stuff. And then you would go home and, you know, tighten things down a little bit.
Hit the phone. That's Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hello.
This is Brian.
Hi, Brian. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Right now we're hearing from our guest speaker, Judy Hart, about our possibility of an energy fair for this coming year.
Great.
She was involved in it a few years back. So, Judy, this is Pat from Geneva.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Judy.
Nice to talk with you, too.
Okay.
So I was just giving a little brief history of the energy fair, and Mary Opperman had asked for some ideas, and I said, well, NYSA used to do these little things where they would come and give people some plastic for their windows, and maybe we could get NYSA to come and we could do some, you know, something in the multi-purpose room at North Campus. And Mary said, you know, what about Barton? And that was when I knew we were in for a good ride. So anyway, the only date we could get for Barton was about two weeks away. Mary, you remember this, because we only tripped over, we actively planned it for about 10 days to 2 weeks, yeah. Which is actually a good thing, I think. If you have too much time for these things, you don't know, you trip over too many bumps. So what we did was I got a group of people together, and we had no money, we had no budget. So we were asking for everything for free, and we got a date for Barton, and we just started calling people and asking, we got it made a list of vendors we'd like to see there. We started calling and asking for participation, and Nancy Doolittle, group did the communication. They did a terrific job, because we ended up having 1,600 people show up, which was a lot more than, I mean, would have been happy with 300 or 400, I think. We involved a lot of campus groups, like the Campus Life Green Team. They gave away a little compact fluorescent light bulbs. The vendors were very happy with it. Mostly local vendors. The big boxes turned us down for the most part, except for Chase Pitkin, and then the next day they announced they were going out of business, so that didn't work out really well. But we were really more interested in the local places anyway, so we had Agway and some of the local stove vendors and stuff, and many of them afterwards told me that it was a better show for them than the big home shows that they go to, because they had so much traffic. And Cooperative Extension got just a ton of interest. We also had some people who could represent HEAP and some of the assistance programs, because we really wanted it to be very well-rounded in terms of helping people. I didn't have time to make copies, but I can pass this around, and you can look at that's kind of the list of people we called and invited to get involved. And then Jim Adams joined us from,
Utilities,
right. And we were almost done at that point, and Jim came to the table, and somewhere in our discussion he said, I can give you $2,000. And we had just been talking about the light bulbs, and I said, oh, light bulbs? He said, no, dollars. And they're like, oh, great, because Connie Mabry was helping us with the logistics, because she does so much with Barton anyway around commencement stuff. And that way we could get the pipe and drape and make the place actually look nice, because we at that point had no money to do something like that. So we only tripped over a couple of things. One of them was a lovely email that Gary's office sent to Mary saying, you do know that we need to make sure we're talking to everybody in town about this. And Mary forwarded to me and said, you know this, right? And I went, no, but I'll sit down with Gary and Judy, and we did, and we had a great conversation, and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
we just mentioned.
What's that?
So talk to everybody in town, what do you mean?
Well, your perspective is?
Yeah, just that if we're inviting off-campus businesses to make sure that it's a level playing field. So if you invite business A, if there's a similar business B, they get invited to.
Okay.
So we're not being selective about who we're invited.
Gotcha.
So we sent all the information to the chamber. But we had called pretty much everybody at that point. So we covered that base. And dining helped us out. They did hot dogs for us for very cheap because we did it across the lunch hour. And we knew people would be coming and looking for something to eat. Building care was terrific. They gave all their employees release time to come over. And so we had a great crowd from that. We had, I forget how many donations. We had a lot of giveaways. We had wanted to have lots of prizes. And we had 123 door prizes, turned out. And the only other thing we tripped over, which we learned at the event, but the bar folks were nice to us, was that we weren't supposed to have the gas canisters that were keeping the hot dog carts warm inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too late for that at that point. So we were okay for, those were the only two things we tripped over. And I don't know, did any of you go to it? Anybody? Yeah? What do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Great event.
Yeah. So we had a really, really positive feedback. We had a, we did a survey, because one of the things we did, we wanted feedback, so I think we asked people to fill out a feedback form when they signed up for the door passes. So we did get a good chunk of people responding, and we asked them how they found out about it, and, and then we got comments from them, and the overall ratings of all of them, you know, most people liked it a little or a lot, and, you know, a handful of people didn't like it. So some people were, I think, hoping it would be more technical than it was. One thing, some of the gearheads were disappointed that there wasn't more to do there, but we did have somebody from Lakeshore Schooling and Utilities did have a booth, so they were able to talk about some things there. One of the things, if I were doing it again, that I would love to see is more of an ability. This one was focused very much on individuals, which was, you know, what the need was and what we wanted to focus on. But I think it would be pretty easy to add a few things on so that you could focus on departments as well, to give departments at Cornell more information about how to lower their energy costs for the good of the institution. So it went really fast.
Is there transportation there?
I think so. I think we have them there.
Have you been
rolling
out a bunch of stuff
yep.
on van pools
yep.
and coming out in the coming months?
Yeah, I don't know what they had, but I'm pretty sure we had them there. I think they were over by the Campus Red Green Team, actually. Yeah.
So 2005 was the first and only time that was ever done?
Yeah.
I think I was getting this confused with the sustainability fair.
Yep.
I thought it was the same thing, but it's not.
It's not. And we've talked with Dean, and you know, we've mm-hmm. tried to figure out some ways to
work.
Connect it with mm-hmm. sustainability. And I, you know, I've had some ideas about, for example, we had an energy fair. You could kick off a theme each year. So 1 year it could be electricity. And across the course of that year, you just get the message out, you know, in lots of different ways, continually for people. Articles and chronicles, small print, whatever, flyers, whatever you want about electricity and how we can save that on campus and personally. And then maybe the next year it's about water. So set off a theme at the energy fair and continue communicating across the year about it. But like I said, we got lucky that the transmit office had a little bit of time to give us, because without their assistance on the logistics, we wouldn't have been able to do it, because they were able to really do all of the bargain hall tables, chairs, all that kind of stuff.
That was one of my questions.
What's that?
That was one of my questions, like who set up the booth location?
Connie did all that stuff. I was very, it'll all work out. We'll worry about it when we get there. And Connie really wanted to get everything done ahead of time, so she did, and it was great.
Yeah, seems like you pulled it off in 2 weeks. That was another question.
Yeah.
I have some questions on
that. It was about that. I don't think we have much more time than that.
2 to 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
bubbled up and Mary seized on it, and everyone's very excited and happy.
Yeah. Okay. I think the reason I think it's the 10 to 2 week time frame is that's when we actually got the team together and started really cranking out. But it probably was about 3 weeks from, you know, initial ideas to execution. But that,
from
yeah.
You opened
yeah.
your mouth.
And you said it was in August?
No, it was in the fall. It was right. We found it. We found a place right before trustee council weekend, I think. Because it was
in October.
Yeah.
Did I mistakenly hear you say this year the date you got is in August? Or is that just totally wrong?
Yeah, we haven't. We haven't
oh, you haven't done any.
Plan
okay.
Another one, no.
All right.
Is anyone looking to do this now at all?
As far as I know.
Okay. And how much time?
So what Mary and I just to give you some background, what Mary and I have talked about is. If we were going to do it again, we need to find a way to do it so that it is sustainable, so that it becomes part of the annual cycle somehow. Because to make it its own big separate event is more work than we can really squeeze out of people at this point.
But the EA would be obviously there's
yeah.
a lot of
yeah.
discussion, but the EA would be a mechanism
absolutely.
To carry that on.
Yeah.
How many
this
vendors?
This would be a good year to restart it, too.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. gas prices are rising.
A little bit.
Cigarettes have gone up.
Yeah. We're not doing anything about health. We could have a no smoking booth there too.
I think everything has gone up.
Yeah.
Judy, how many vendors?
I don't. You know, I'd have to. I didn't have a lot of time to dig information out. I'd have to count them up. But
and you still have a vendor list. Of
I got all that stuff.
Really?
Up, yeah.
And there were 1,600 people attending.
That was the count.
There's 22 yeses on your survey,
that was
including
Ben. Yeah, that was a week out.
And that was a week out. So.
Yeah.
Was this open to the public?
We didn't close it to the public. We didn't invite them. And it also was during fall break, so there weren't students. We didn't do that intentionally. There weren't students around. One thing that I didn't like about doing it in fall break was that a lot of my staff, dining, aren't working and weren't able to come to it. So that wasn't an ideal date from that standpoint, yeah. But it was just when we did get bars.
But ideally, I mean, you would want the entire community participating.
Sure.
Students,
yeah, you bet.
Faculty, staff, everybody.
Yeah. I'm sure out of the 1,600, and we had not less than not staff mm-hmm. people there. I don't think we had very many students show up simply because if they weren't here.
How many people were at the president's address last year? Roughly 500?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's a good guess.
Okay. In your obviously you're here. If we decide to move on this, we got Mary's full support again.
I'd be glad to help anyway.
You read my mind. Okay. And that's for my questions now. Dennis?
I've got a question. I don't know if you know what the current thinking of the EA is, but in a meeting with the EA chairs and Mary, the idea about the energy fair came up again in the context of tweaking it along with the president's address.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're aware of that, so this event would actually take place in conjunction with the president's address.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be a good marriage of the two
sure.
Events?
Sure.
How do you see that happening?
You mean doing it, or how do I see the...
Yeah, how would it play out?
Well, I think, you know, the institution has made such a huge commitment to sustainability. That I think if you can pull it off for this year, certainly the president has made lots of statements around sustainability, and I think believe that it's in our overarching goals. So you could ask him the first year to focus his remarks on it, just to kick things off, right? And so that's how you could make that connection in the first year, and then you could announce. Depending on the size and scale of it, you don't necessarily need to make it annual. It could be biannual. You could announce what your intentions are for it at that point, just to give people an idea of what the plans are. As far as actually doing it, when's the president's address?
Peter. October.
Too bad the weather's not more dependable, because it'd be nice to be able to do something right out on the plaza. But
right.
It could be cold as hell or snowing.
The guard hall safe. It's a safe location.
Yeah.
Even if it is summer. Right?
Yeah, yeah, and it's not too far for people to go.
And here's a question for the group. I was digging at this before, but does anybody have any reservations or have any reason or any logic to why staff and faculty would not be in attendance at the president's address. If this is open, it could be some public people,
mm-hmm.
obviously the vendors,
mm-hmm.
student, faculty, and staff at the president's address. And if anyone, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think what, to me, to get the broadest attendance, you would have to do it with partnerships or in collaboration, perhaps with the grad assembly, the student assembly, the faculty senate. To me, if all of the assemblies came together to do it, to me, that's one way to try to, I mean, not that you can guarantee that whoever's going to come, but at least to have their constituents as part of the.
So you definitely don't see a problem with, because I know last year, I think it was probably 99% staff in attendance.
But I guess what I'm saying, though, is if the EA decided to pick this up, I'm saying that you would do it formally in partnership with those other groups
right.
to get the widest audience.
I agree.
Otherwise, I think you're just going to get staffed.
Right. Yes.
The one thing I'd say with bringing the president's address in with the energy fair is your employees' time commitment. If they're about X amount of time away, either they're going to hit the address or they're going to hit the fair. Maybe not the fair.
And the other thing I would, and I could be wrong about this, but I think that the idea of having the president talk to employees way back when was, and it, Dennis, you probably have a better history on this than I do, but I think it was to put focus on employees.
Yes.
Because there wasn't an opportunity for employees really to see the president as often as some other constituencies do it. So if you do broaden it,
right.
that would possibly be seen as a loss by some people. But you know, that's true.
That's kind of what matches for to have some kind of caution of moving forward. And maybe the president's office themselves could help answer that question as far as their viewpoint. And staff were the group to make that decision. That's what we. Yeah.
I know another, something to consider in weeks here. I'm on the President's Climate Commitment Implementation Committee, and there is such a thing called Campus Sustainability Day, which was October 22nd this year, I believe. And so the sustainability people on campus are doing something around that. It's possible that the energy fair could happen then, and then you have the President's address the following week. I mean, you don't have to be coupled. You could tie into this this Campus Sustainability Day that's recognized every year.
Like a whole theme for the week or something.
I mean, so there's other ways to slice the dice. Mary gave one possibility,
yep.
but I hear what Inda's saying, and if employees have limited amounts of time, they're either going to take in the president or if they're going to go try to find some cost saving right to revive those situations.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with Dennis. I was going to get back to Dean and the sustainability. To me,
yeah.
it's more coupled with that. And, And I think the president would be, in my opinion, would be better along giving the address to the staff as opposed to having all of that running together. Also, I think that the president, hopefully, if this is up and running, it'll be sustained over time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think every year the president has to be at the energy fair,
right.
you know, giving the address about energy.
Right.
There's other topics out there.
For sure.
But, so... You know, I would hate to see every year it's on the same thing.
I was just suggesting that the first year is a
kickoff. Right.
But we actually talked with Dean the last couple of years about trying to put it together with Sustainability Day because I do think that's where the real synergy is. Problem with Sustainability Day is it's not the same day every year. And so you chase your tail trying to find Barton around the same time that the trustees are coming and all the other stuff is going on. So... That's the tough thing about doing it with sustainability today. It's usually that week, but it's in the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, and you never really know which day it's going to be.
But
so anyway.
But don't you know, like, well in advance to plan it ahead of time, or does it go down to the wire?
The last couple of years, it was pretty much down to the wire. But it's even if you have it in advance, it's usually the same week as just the council weekend. So unless it's, I think the only day that week you can get Barton is usually Tuesday. So that just was a really tough conflict a couple of times we checked into it.
Did
you could probably do it the same week, maybe,
right.
and you know have make some visible connections, but it would be hard to do it the same day year after year.
Sure. If you don't have any other final questions, yes, Amy.
I just wanted to say that just my own comments was that the president's address is usually from 12 to 1, so he doesn't speak that whole time. It's maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes.
Right.
So, I mean, if the event went from, say, 11 to 1 or 11 to 2 over the lunch hour, maybe he could mingle for a little while, speak for 10 minutes, and then mingle a little longer, and off he goes while the affair was going on.
Right.
Plus, that would be a substantial cost savings for the EA not to pay for lunches, because the lunch would be provided by Cornell Dining for a very small nominal fee. You know, it was, I think it was like a dollar for a hot dog and a dollar for a can of soda. I mean, it was tiny, tiny burden for people to buy lunch while they're there.
Our attendance, our advertising. We definitely will have a further discussion on it. And I can send out that email to the group and see. We're also meeting with Mary. She said she wanted to meet before today, but I'll be meeting with Mary next week. We'll bring it out with her. Yes, thank
you. I just wanted to mention, too, you know, we're setting aside some money for that president's address. And if it were combined, there would be, that money would still be available to put towards the Sustainability Day. And so there's some money there if, you know, if it's done
sure.
together, too. And you might kill two birds with one stone in all the nicest ways.
Right, right.
By doing that, and really be quite effective use of money. I just wanted to mention that for as we discuss.
Okay. Judy, thank you very much.
That's
we will be in touch with you, definitely.
Do you want to keep this?
I will keep whatever you have. If you find more digital, send it to me.
All right. What's your net ID?
Or I can email you.
Yeah, thanks.
When my email works.
Okay.
But I will. Judy, I'll find you.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
you don't have
great.
To worry about anything. Thank you for coming.
I have lots of things
thanks
to worry about. But I won't worry about this.
Thanks
again for inviting me. Good
thank
to see
you.
Bye.
So, yes, we're running out of time, and this is a lot of discussion, a lot of planning. So if the group's okay, I'm going to initiate an email to the group, and I think we see how it goes. And if anybody feels that we really need to meet, we can pull on a meeting. This summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. Because we could talk about this.
Maybe you want to do an ad hoc.
Yeah, we could. Let's get the emails going out. And we'll see how we can. We might be able to tackle this through email. All right. Well, that was a good presentation, and we are to Alan in finance.
Does everyone have the proposed budget handy? Okay, so I sent it out, thanks to Bill Liddick for forwarding me the latest proposed budget, and asked for anyone additions that they may want to put on it, because we're anticipating $9,400 as our allotment, and we had about $440 that wasn't sort of spoken for. We did get one bit of information from Brian. Want to speak to that real quickly as to
your... Yeah, I don't remember the numbers. I actually requested as the chair of the EA membership review committee to add $100 allotted for lunches, because my vision for this committee is as we progress, I might invite some big key players into the discussion and would want to make sure there's enough to cover it. And obviously, I told Alan that would be, hey, Alan, is it okay? We're going to do this. So it's kind of at Alan's discretion, not mine. And then I also asked for $75 for same kind of purpose, but for lunches, if me as the chair, if I met with John Miner, remember that, and I was going to meet with him, and I went to lunch, that it might be a nice gesture to use discretionary funds to actually pay for those type of lunches if I did that, if it would be a business. But it was very limited funds, and it would be... would permit, it wouldn't be I'm out at lunch and I just said, hey, Dennis, let me pay for you. It would be approved by, Alan. And I think sometimes as chair, I do have those type of gatherings and lunches.
Okay.
So if that was done, that would still leave roughly $265.
$265, which is not spoken for yet. Dennis?
In my role as interim chair of the awards and recognition committee, staff recognition committee, an idea that's been kicked around that committee for some time, but it's never been fully funded, is the idea of an actual plaque that would be posted, that would hang somewhere, probably in Jay Hall, of all the George Peter Award winners. There's no place on campus where there's actual a list of all the George Peter Award winners. And we had talked about it at one point, maybe being Jay Hall. Another time, the plaza in between Yours and Statler is called the Peter Plaza. It's the George and Gloria Peter Plaza. We had thought perhaps the plaque over there, since the George Peter Award. But it cost considerably more than $200. So it's just something that the group can think about, but the committee has to be, the staff awards committee has not met. We need to put forward a proposal to support the budget.
In the past when I've been on that committee, I actually did do some looking into cost, although, I mean, this is a few years ago, so things have changed, but I think that's a great idea if there is funding now available for that.
And it's something we chased after, or I can remember discussions with this almost 10 years ago.
We could actually do one of our George Peter Awards there, or have some kind of dedication ceremony for it, but that would obviously throw the cost up a little more as well. Or do we start chunking money now to do it next year? Or do we play it by ear and see if we feel we save some money here, we can use it there?
Brian?
Yes?
Could I make a suggestion? We put $1,000 aside for unplanned events, and I guess I would suggest that maybe rather than specifically talking about these individual events, maybe we just throw all the money in that. And then each time an idea comes up, we can do the specific form that requests funds for a specific project, and then that can go through the finance committee for approval.
So you're kind of shifting the unplanned event to what Dennis is recommending?
Maybe change the language of unplanned events to something different that would encompass not necessarily just events, but unplanned expenses or whatever.
Yeah, so there is, so Alan, there, that unplanned event, if we change the terminology or the wording, but that's some padding in our budget. So if Dennis did get that, he had to meet with the committee and he says, hey, I need $600, it's still a vote. So we could try to tap into that if needed.
I find no fault with putting the $265 into the unplanned events / unplanned expenses.
Or throw the $265 into the staff recognition awards committee.
Either way, we could start it. If we want to dedicate it, my view is if we want to start dedicating money to that plaque, I think we should put it in the staff recognition and awards committee budget and then see where it takes us. Maybe it does take 2 years to fund it, or maybe we get some compliance vendor who's willing to discount it and have a little plaque on the plaque, you know, plaque donated by, that sort of thing, plaque associates. So if we want, you know, if the sense of the group is that we know now we want to dedicate some money toward that, and we have the $265 as a convenient starting point, then I would recommend seeding it in that budget, the staff recognition and awards committee budget, and see how it goes.
I agree with you, Alan. Also, the word plaque, it's already there.
Right.
There's no funding. So seems like that's a natural fit. Under staff recognition and awards committee, under employee assembly special appreciation award.
The line is there.
Yeah, the line is there for plaque.
Yeah, you could put
it
right
start
there.
Building right,
put it right there.
There. It might not be enough, but over time it'll add up.
That, I think it means the plaque for the employee assembly special appreciation award.
That was like what you gave to Michael.
Michael and Donna. But make a separate line item and throw it on the plaque.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good to me. All right.
Okay, so that that does fill out the anticipated allotment. Any other comments or questions?
I don't have a copy for me. How much does Concom have for us?
$19.50.
That's gone down from previous years.
So is it Concom, right?
Yeah.
So did the 175 or 170, 175 separately, did they go into the executive committee and two line items under there for those separate items, or do they just go into the $800 or what?
In my response,
Richard. Where does Brian's request?
I think it has to go. Yeah, I anticipated going in the executive committee budget. I don't know that it's probably a separate line item for.
I think they should be separate.
Yeah, chair.
Chair, you have chair meetings, and that would be what, 75, and then the, I don't know where, under committees, I would put on the front page. I would put ad hoc EA membership committee $100 because that's a committee.
Ad hoc EA membership.
Yeah, I would put $100.
$100. Very good.
Outstanding. Any questions for Alan? Anything else for us? All right.
So question mark. Do we want to? Is this the time to vote on this, or do we want to entertain a motion to approve the budget and be early?
If we don't vote on it now, we have to wait for the summer. After the summer,
we don't want to do like they do in Albany.
Great. Stop the clock.
Do we have enough?
Go back.
We have seven people.
Do we have a forum to vote?
Yeah. And we put in Pat.
Pat, how do you feel we're going to try to put this budget now for a vote?
I think it's a great idea.
Outstanding.
It is current information.
Okay.
All right, so then I'll entertain a motion to approve the budget as amended with today's discussion.
With a possibility for future amendments, if necessary.
Yeah, the budget is always, okay. I assume, is always subject to change.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, I have a second from Peter. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay. We passed the budget. Good job, Alan.
All right.
Wiping his hands, Pat. I've done that before. We leave. Okay, we're going to move on, and we are running short. Emergency grant fund.
That's not bad.
Okay. Personnel policy. IOC.
I don't have anything.
Probably have covered a lot of it anyway earlier.
Yeah.
University benefits, employee education, ad hoc charter review. No Pat and Leon are here. Anything to report on that?
No.
Leon, I think we have a meeting scheduled.
Two of them.
Yeah, we have two meetings scheduled, but we haven't met yet.
All right. EA membership review. What I'm doing is I'm going to be sending out an email. I'd like to replace our regular EA meetings this summer with the EA membership review committee. So we may be meeting in 2 weeks if I get an okay by everybody. All right. Old business. Okay. New business. We have the Paul Print column. Dennis?
Yes. Quick. Pass this out to everybody. As soon as my email's up again, I will send an email to everyone. I'm on post office 7.
I'm lucky 7.
You're still down?
This must be so quiet for you right now. You can write emails anyway.
Hazel is on the hot seat at the moment.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. She's working on it because she called me for some fact checks.
She's working on it.
Mm-hmm. How many words is this, Dennis?
Probably 50 words, 25, 50. And we could talk at some later point about what from my experience, has made the most impactful columns and
And this isn't set in stone. If you find it, the time that you are set up, because it's all just random alphabetical order, the time that you're expected to write the column is not really going to work for you in terms of your workflow. It's certainly, you're certainly free to trade with somebody else who has a time that would work better for you, as long as you let me know.
I was about to say, if you haven't had an opportunity to write a column and you'd like to, just because you let me know, and I'll have to switch. I wrote like thousands of this year. If you're interested in writing one earlier, you know.
He was a fallback guy, and he did a good job.
Yes. Dennis, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
There's no excuses now from VA members that don't write the new column until 2 minutes before the deadline.
Let's start writing.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to open forum. Is there anything, I'm just maybe not open for them, just is there anything else anybody wanted to get into today's meeting? And I would like to thank everybody for everything we've done. We've pulled a lot together. We've got a great summer planned, and we have a good year ahead of us.
Congratulations on your officers.
Definitely. At this time, I'd like to adjourn our meeting.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Pat.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.